This is the Quality News Network. The 15 British troops seized last month in the Persian Gulf arrived back in London this morning. They're on their way to a debriefing. Their release yesterday by Iran's hardline president eased tensions in the region. In Basra, four British soldiers and a civilian interpreter were killed today in an ambush. Another British soldier was seriously wounded. South of Baghdad, a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter was brought down by enemy fire this morning. Four of the nine aboard were injured. At least nine U.S. helicopters have crashed this year in Iraq. Yesterday, five U.S. soldiers were killed, four wounded in various incidents around Baghdad. Also, the military says another U.S. soldier was killed Tuesday in a small arms skirmish. The Pentagon has announced an investigation indicates two U.S. soldiers killed in Ramadi in early February likely were victims of friendly fire. Three other soldiers were wounded in the same incident. The White House has been asked to commute the 20-year prison sentence of American Taliban insurgent John Walker Lind. Lind's lawyer referred to this week's sentencing of an Australian Taliban soldier who received 9 months in jail. Both men were arrested in Afghanistan in 2001. In Miami, a federal judge has rejected arguments from the legal team of alleged terrorist Jose Padilla that their client's arrest was based on information gathered by torture in CIA prisons abroad. Padilla spent 3.5 years in solitary confinement before being charged with aiding al-Qaeda. In The Hague, a former Bosnian Serb policeman has been given a 15-year sentence for the rape and torture of Muslim women during the Bosnian War. Dragan Zelenovic pleaded guilty. His case first established rape as a crime against humanity. In Kiev, demonstrations continue today. Ukraine's President Viktor Yushchenko refuses to back down from his decision to dissolve parliament and call early elections. Western-leaning Yushchenko is in a standoff with the country's pro-Russian prime minister. In Paris, 71 passengers were injured in a rush hour traffic this morning when a commuter train hit a guardrail as it pulled into a train station. The Solomon Islands main airport opened today, facilitating humanitarian aid efforts in the tsunami-stricken region. Thousands are homeless. Scores remain missing. There are reports of disease breaking out in makeshift camps. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discovered that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
French scientists have exposed a 19th century hoax. A rib bone said to have belonged to Joan of Arc is really from an Egyptian mummy. The bone was said to have been discovered in Rouen, where St. Joan was burned at the stake almost 7 centuries ago. Chocolate company Hershey announced it's entering into a partnership to sell syrup in India. Increased competition in a market limited to the U.S. have led to decreased sales in recent months. Hershey announced last month it will lay off 1,500 American workers. The nation's largest memory chip maker, Micron Technology, says a 30% drop in prices resulted in a $52 million quarterly loss. However, its forecast is optimistic for the rest of the year. Shares rose 4% following the announcement. Discovery Communications next year will launch a 24-hour channel centered on environmentally friendly living. The nation's leading electronics chain, Best Buy, posted an 18% jump in quarterly profits. The company credited robust sales outside of the U.S., particularly in China. Shell Oil says it will return to full production in the Niger Delta within 6 months, that following an undisclosed agreement between Shell and local communities. The oil company was forced to shut down more than half of its facilities a year ago because of rebel activity. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.07 a barrel. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Chicago, the city with many names. It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, get up. Come on, 1-2, 1-2. Time to get up. Come on. Getting tired of hearing you complaining every morning. You're talking, I don't want to wake up. You better wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Not just in a physical sense, but in a metaphorical sense, if I can pronounce it correctly. You have to wake up. You have to wake up, and you have to understand what's happening to the country and what's happening to your lives and what's happening to the world, because that's, you know, that's damn important. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about sometimes, you know, people I talk to who are not necessarily involved in politics, but they say, well, you know, politics doesn't matter. Politics doesn't matter. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Politics matters, people. What happens in the political life matters. God, what is this? What is this crap? You know, I'm in the middle of talking here, and all of a sudden I get this Apple pop-up. Hey, you need to update your QuickTime. You know, screw you. Damn. I'm in the middle of a show here, pal. And you're bugging me for upgrades? It's like, you know, getting an email in the middle of a day that, you know, we got some Viagra for sale. You know, sometimes I just wish my computer would leave me alone when I'm trying to work. You know, just leave me alone. I've got work to do here. And I'm sitting here wondering why my hard drive is clanking away. And by the way, I only have 256 megs of RAM in this machine here, and that means I have to use a lot of the hard drive memory, which means everything is slow as hell. And we get into the Java chat, which is where the head-on radio chat room comes in, and it's all Java, and I hate Java because it takes literally anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes to load. And I hate that. When I click on a button, ladies and gentlemen, I want the damn page to be there. I want it to work right away. I don't want to have to sit there. I had to do that 15 years ago when this computer stuff first started. Here we are with all this technology, and we can't get a little speed out of it. And it's all because of lack of RAM. Anybody wants to buy me some RAM, some computer RAM, give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. I could use about a gig, actually. Give me a gig chip I saw on eBay for like 42 bucks or 60 bucks or something like that. And if I had the money, ladies and gentlemen, I would buy it myself. But if somebody wants to be generous enough to purchase it for me, give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com, and we'll work something out. I was being asked. I use a PC. I have Windows XP Pro. I have a Dell computer. I have no idea what type. It's one of those little flat types. What does it say on the side here? This is a, I have no idea what the hell it means. X087-3013, whatever the hell that means. D9, you got all these damn numbers here. I have no idea. Why don't they just have a big old label? This is a Dell Model 42X. They can't do that. My roommate uses a Mac. He's got a Mac. But I'm a PC guy, and quite frankly, I can't stand either one of them. I'll be perfectly honest about that. I can't stand either one of them. I really want to have somebody, because, you know, they have some open source stuff that's going on that's really very, very good. I mean, I use Firefox, and I love Firefox to death. I think it's a wonderful program, and it's an open source program, which means it's free, and it's efficient. And it has good plugins to do different things. And we really need somebody to do something like that for an operating system. Just design an operating system. And all they really have to do is design it, make it very simple, make it very memory efficient, like my old Amigas used to be. You can run the entire operating system of the Amiga computer, ladies and gentlemen, ran on 126K that was stored in ROM. That's K. At any rate, I got off on a tangent there because I got interrupted. Oh man, it's just really annoying. I hate being slow. I hate sitting at the computer waiting for something to happen. Say, come on, come on. And I know I'm not the only person who yells at my computer, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm not because Agnes currently screams at the house computers over in the studio in West Virginia. And in fact, Bob is starting to think there's something wrong with Agnes because she's talking. But I figure, you know, it's all right to yell at your computer, but when your computer starts yelling back, then you should go see somebody. Okay? That's what they always, you know, I think it was an episode of MASH where Radar went to see Dr. Friedman, the psychiatrist guy, and he was wondering if he was going crazy because he talked to his teddy bear, and the doctor said, well, does your teddy bear ever talk back? He said, no, of course not. He said, well, you're all right then. Don't worry about it. Here, have a placebo. Hal. She calls the computer Hal. But unfortunately, it's the Hal 1000, Agnes, not the Hal 9000. Yeah, I'm gonna defrag the computer right after this. Agnes was telling me, Joe, defrag your computer. That might help out a little bit. You know, but that's the wonders of the internet, though, that even with all the problems, we can still get all this crap done long distance. Long distance. I mean, we've got, you know, I'm here in Chicago, wonderful, beautiful Chicago, where we had no, you know, we had a blackout last night, too, and that was real fun. I was right in the middle of doing something on a computer, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, what the hell? And it was the whole neighborhood. It was like a six-block area. And so my roommate and I went out, because it really wasn't a whole hell of a lot for us to do. We went out, and we went up to Devon Avenue, and Devon was not blacked out. And we went to a couple little stores there looking for, we were looking for some candles. And we finally, there was a dollar store where we got some candles there. Of course, by the time we got back, the blackout was over. But it's nice to have this stuff. And I used to keep a couple of kerosene lamps around just in case of blackouts. But I didn't take those with me. They're in storage still down in Atlanta. And man, I need to, you know, there's so many things I need to do. And so much of it is just a pipe dream because I am so broke. And I hate being broke. I'm sitting here at the negative in the bank account. And negative in my PayPal account even. And it's just like, oh, God almighty. But hopefully I should be able to get some work today in my day job. And I get paid tomorrow. I should get my income tax check in tomorrow. And people are like, why are you talking about this personal stuff on the radio? You shouldn't be talking about that. People want to hear about all the issues. Well, you know something, ladies and gentlemen? I talk about the personal stuff because the personal stuff is how you're affected by all these policies. The reason why I'm negative in the bank account is because my day job isn't worth a crap, and a lot of people's day jobs aren't worth a crap. My roommate works hard, works 40 hours a week and more sometimes, and he still has trouble just making the rent. And it's not because he's not a hard worker. It's simply because we're paying too much rent, and he's not earning enough money. And he and I are one of millions of people. Are two of millions of people who are like that. Millions of people across the country, ladies and gentlemen, who are simply working too hard for not enough money. And I, for one, am a little tired of it. And people ask me why I'm not as serious about looking for other jobs as perhaps I could be. And part of it is, you know, first of all, I do like my job when there is work because I get to sit down and it's a pretty mindless job so I can sit and think. And I like going downtown to work. It's really nice, you know, crossing the river on the L and just seeing how beautiful and wonderful Chicago is. And it really is a wonderful city. But also I don't want to have the same crappy job as before. I want something a little better. And those are a little bit more difficult to get. I'm told that someone said that if for every like $10,000 of salary you want, it takes at least a month to try to get. So I guess I'm on schedule. I'd like to get a job that pays maybe $35,000 a year. That would be very nice, and it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but ladies and gentlemen, that's more money than I've ever made my whole life. If you want to talk about this stuff, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4. Head on, I'm here for you. You can also give me an email at joe@cupjoe.com if you've got some memory. Sue here says she might have some memory for me, and that would be really nice. Our good friend helping out producing with Agnes. But we'll see. I just, you know, ladies and gentlemen, when I ask, you know, on my site, when I ask for donations and stuff like that, just keep in mind that the donations aren't for me to go out and buy some luxurious couch or something. It's for me to go out and buy equipment that I need, which I need. Anyway, we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education is different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman. The steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And by the way, before we get to the phone calls, we do have a phone call. Before we get to that, I just wanted to say that I am very upset with whatever the hell this Head On product is. And did we copyright this name, Head On Radio Network? Can we sue these SOBs? Because now whenever I mention Head On Radio Network, that's all people say. Are you associated with that stupid product on TV? And I want to go out there and just smack those folks around, you know. You know, I don't care about their stupid head-on thing. I don't even know what the hell it is. You whack yourself in the head? What the hell is that? But, you know, now they got the police because they're all over the country now. And when I say, well, I'm with the Head-On Radio Network, so what do you sell that crappy thing they have there? And it's like, if we got a copyright on it, I swear to God we ought to just take their asses to court. That's what we ought to do because I'm sick of being associated with them. Because it's a stupid-ass commercial, and it looks like a stupid-ass product. What, do you cure headache by whacking yourself in the head? Yeah, that'll work. Do it repeatedly, you'll just go unconscious. Keep doing it, and you'll become a Republican. Let's go to the phones. My good friend Sarge from unreportednews.net is here. Hi, Sarge. How are you today?
Morning.
Have you got a head-on project, Sarge? Are you whacking yourself in the head?
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, they got them up here in Chicago. They got advertisements for it. I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. Of course, if it was here, Katrina probably blew it away. So, I wanted to tell everybody, go by and read my column for today. There was a graduate student that was doing her thesis, and she was down on the coast in Jackson County, Pascagoula, when we were down there. And she's written her synopsis of her thesis, and this some really, really revealing stuff that really needs to be read. It's seems like every day we're getting more and more of the writings of different resources on the effects of what's going on in the Katrina ravaged areas. And,
well, Sarge, the sad thing is that there is so much stuff going on all at the same time. I mean, we had the Libby trial just finished, and there's still, you know, people talking about that. You had the trial of the federal prosecutors. You got the whole Walter Reed thing, and the war in Iraq is still going on. I mean, there's so many things that are huge happening. And, of course, you know, everybody's got to cover the important thing, like who's Anna Nicole's baby's father.
Right.
You know, that's the important thing. And Britney's hair grow back again today, you know, and it's like, good Lord.
Yeah, that's, you know, those are the important items. I mean, you know, treason of exposing an undercover agent, failure to take care of an area like this over here. They aren't usual.
Neither is what's happening over with the people on the Gulf Coast, right? That's not newsworthy. Well,
yeah.
People suffer and die every day, so we don't really need to see that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Iraq. Katrina's old news. That's old news.
It's old news.
Who wants it?
Dude, it's old news the day after it happens. Well, you had your hurricane, and that's it.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear about it anymore. There was a hurricane. Move on. Let's go. Move on. One more thing. Here we go.
Yeah, and Iraq. Iraq's kind of old news. You know, we don't really want to hear about it. You got to talk about it. Well, okay, but not much. I've heard people tell me, we really don't want to hear about Katrina. That's too depressing. And my answer to them is, yeah, it's pretty depressing to the ones going through it too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
That kind of remark just really tees me off. I can't handle that. If they're worried about feeling good, why don't they go down there and work in the area? Because you will feel good when you see the appreciation that the people have for when you reach out and help them, give them a hand up. And that's
well, you know, Sarge, the thing about it is I must have a will of steel. And so do most of us here on the Head On Radio Network, because we look at this and we see this every day, and we keep aware and we keep involved as best we can. And what you see on the news and what you hear from the so-called professional media, it's enough to make you want to, you know, get a rope and hang yourself, because it's just that bad. And yet here we are still fighting, because we still think that there can be positive things come out of this somehow. We may not be able to see it yet, but you know, we're still fighting for it.
Well, you know, when I look at someone like Leroy Johnson, for instance, and I see what our work has done in his life, because here was a man who had lost his grandchildren, the house that he lived in before Katrina had been washed out. He started rebuilding it, and a faulty wiring caught the house on fire and burned it down just before Christmas, and he wasn't able to get any help, and it looked hopeless for him. And then all of a sudden, thanks to everybody working together, we were able to have him a house, and they built it in 9 days.
Wow.
Imagine a house built in 9 days. Yeah, it's a small house, but it is well built.
The Amish would be proud.
Oh, he just, I mean, Leroy was just excited. He just, you know, it made his life a lot better and made all the burdens that he's carrying a lot easier. And there's a lot of people in Leroy's position, but they're not as fortunate in that they haven't gotten that help yet. And that's one thing we're trying to do is find those people, but we need the help. We need the volunteers. We need the money. We need the attention to the problems that are down here. And that's the only way we're going to be able to solve this.
Well, of course, you know, everybody can go to unreportednews.net and read up on all the latest there. And, you know, it's important to keep this in the public eye as much as possible, because God knows the so-called pros in the press aren't going to be talking about it, that's for sure. So I'm glad that that you're out there, and Jimmy Yancey and all the other people working at the at Unreported News and at the Jackson County Southern Coalition, all doing a hell of a job, and the Southern Progressives Movement too.
Well, we also have a story at Unreported News that broke yesterday from Raw Story about they found one of the rendition camps in Poland.
And, yes.
Of course, you know, that's going to be all over the news probably today. You probably won't be able to turn away from that story. I'm sure CNN and Fox and ABC and all.
Oh, that. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to get great airplay right after Anna Nicole Smith is still dead.
Yeah, they are. Ted Haggard is still heterosexual.
Oh, that's right.
Or maybe he isn't. I don't know. But
well, you know, the other big story is that they're going on about Barack Obama, about some supposed, you know, shady deals. And I'm going to talk about this in the next break. But you know, any little tiny anthill that you can turn into the Venetian Alps against the Democrat, and you know, any big mountain of stuff that you can turn into that you can pull down into an anthill for the Republicans and for the right wing and for the corporates, right?
Right. It's funny. They told us, remember 9/11, and then when everyone started remembering it, saying, hey, why doesn't this make sense? Then all of a sudden they said, well, forget 9/11.
Forget 9/11. Go shopping.
Yeah, go shopping.
Get some shoes. Condi's going out and get some shoes. Go join her shopping. There you go.
Yeah, these people, they just want us to pay attention to everything that doesn't matter, and what matters they want us to ignore. And we can't do that. There is no excuse why these people are not being impeached. There is just absolutely no excuse whatsoever.
It's just cowardice, and it's just people are afraid to stand up, and our Democratic leaders, who we have to have pushed and cajoled just to get them to where they are now, and they're still nowhere near as tough as they need to be. And I know that a lot of them want the process to work. They want it to go slowly. Patrick Fitzgerald, you know, he took his time with his trial, and he got a very, very strong conviction, 4 out of 5 counts. And, of course, you know, what's the headline on Fox News? Libby found not guilty. He took the one part, the 1 out of 5 that he wasn't. That's what they highlight. And that's, you know, and that's just Republican propaganda. That's all it is, Sarge.
Yeah, that's all it is. Well, Joe, I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to drop in and say hello and see that everybody listening goes and reads this article, because there's some really revealing stuff, and if you really want to know just how bad it is, this woman did a very good job in her writing, and she's not through yet, neither are we.
Great, and neither am I. Take care, Sarge, except for this break. We got just about a minute here before we got to go. And thanks again, Sarge, for coming on. Yeah, go to unreportednews.net, ladies and gentlemen, and you're going to get the news that they don't want you to hear. Just like here on the Head-On Radio Network, that you're going to get the news that the so-called professionals in the media do not want you to hear. Anyway, anybody else wants to get in on the action, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You can give me an email after the show, joe@cupjoe.com. Just give me an email saying you're listening. And that way I know how many things, so we can hopefully convince some investors that we've got people on the air. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Radio Network.
you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. It's the second half of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head-On Radio Network. And if you want to give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And allow me to reiterate, as I'm going to continue to do, because I want more, I'm not satisfied. If you're listening to the show, if you're listening on iTunes, if you're listening here on the Head-On, from the Head-On Radio Network head site, headonradionetwork.com, if you're listening to a rerun from rightworldsociety.org, I want you to stop what you're doing right now, right this second, and it won't take you but a second, and I want you to go and write me an email to joe@cupjoe.com saying, I'm listening, in the subject header. You can type something nice about me. If you don't have to, it's not necessary. What's important is for us to prove to investors and to people who want to support the show, support the network and the show, that we've got people listening. I've gotten emails from all over the world so far, ladies and gentlemen. I've got them from England. I've got them one from Denmark. I've got a couple from Eastern Europe. And, of course, I've got them from all over the United States as well, from California, from here in Chicago to New York, Florida. So I really want to hear from you. If you're listening to the show at all, I want you to email me. And it doesn't cost you any money. It doesn't take you but a second. joe@cupjoe.com. It's very simple. C-U-P-J-O-E, not cupojoe.com. C-U-P-J-O-E. My blog is cupojoe.com. But just give me an email. It doesn't take but a second. It don't take but a second. He says I don't talk good. Do you think I don't talk good? I got a New York accent here in Chicago. In fact, it was funny. When we were over around Christmas time, my roommate and I went down to Marshall Fields, now Sears, now Macy's, but there's a big stink over that. Marshall Fields was a big local store. And we were waiting in the elevator, and there's a guy holding the elevator door open, and I'm just like, you know, in or out, pal, you know. And then I said, well, I'm waiting for my wife and kids. Well, oh, I didn't know that. And my roommate just says, my friend here is from New York. And everyone, oh, okay. It's all understood. He's from New York. Hey, in or out, guy. And even I laughed at that. So that's the way we are, ladies and gentlemen. Even though I left New York when I was 15, 16 years old, that's where I was raised. So it kind of rubs off on you. It kind of rubs off on you. I got caught watching the local news here. Yesterday, I was cooking something up in the microwave, and sometimes, and very rarely do I watch any TV anymore at all. Really, I watch very, very few television shows. The only show I watch regularly or try to watch regularly is The Simpsons and King of the Hill when they have a new show. Yeah, I know it's Fox, but you know it's good stuff still. It's The Simpsons, and The Simpsons is the only one that can really seriously make fun of Fox. At any rate, I was nuking some hot dogs in the microwave because I didn't feel like dirtying some dishes, and I was flipping on the news while I was waiting, and the TV, and then the local news was on, and they were talking about the story about Barack Obama and apparently some investments they made that they're saying that maybe possibly had a conflict of interest, which of course is BS, and we're talking about, you know, a couple of thousand dollars here, a couple of thousand dollars there, you know, and it's all really what it is part of the right wing propaganda machine that starts these stories out just to get impressions in people's minds. You know, I'm gonna read. This is from Digby at the Hullabaloo website, and he said and this was back in February before the Obama story, and he was talking about the Harry Reid story that came around, and he talks about the return of Whitewater journalism. And this is what Digby had to say. He said, these are patented Whitewater-style smell test stories. They're based on complicated details that make the casual reader's eyes glaze over and about what the subject has to issue. Hold on. Let me say that right. They're based on complicated details that make the casual reader's eyes glaze over and about which the subject has to issue long, confusing explanations in return. They feature colorful and unsavory political characters in some way. They often happened in the past, and they tend to be written in such a way as to say that even if they aren't illegal, they look bad. The underlying theme is hypocrisy because the subjects are portrayed as making a dishonest buck while pretending to represent the average working man. Oh, and they always feature a Democrat. Republicans are not subject to such scrutiny because a craven, opportunistic Republican isn't news. Trick, huh? That's what they did to Bill Clinton with all the trumped up scandals that they had, and none of them were anything. Travelgate, the whole airport thing where they claimed that he had been, you know, getting a haircut and held up traffic at LA airport, well, that was a total lie. And you know why they made that up? I remember that article in Rolling Stone magazine many, many years ago. The reason why the press people made that up is because Clinton stopped one of the policies of the Reagan administration, which was to give free food out to journalists. And the story was about this one reporter who wasn't going for the free food. He was about, you know, looking through the archives and making sure, you know, doing his job as a reporter, as a journalist, to find the truth and to bring it to the forefront. But the other press, we go, oh, free food. We'll write nice stuff about Reagan. What, Clinton's stopping it? Let's make up some stuff about him. And that's basically it, ladies and gentlemen. That is basically it. And that's what they're doing with Barack Obama. They've been doing it for years with Hillary anyway. You know, they don't even have to come up with any new stuff. They'll just rehash some old stuff. Whether it's, you know, maybe Hillary's a lesbian, or why does she wear pants? Or what really happened in Whitewater? which was nothing. And it doesn't make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at the major scandals that are going on now. This is some big, serious stuff. Mr. Libby is the highest ranking, I believe, the highest ranking government official ever in the history of the United States of America to get convicted of a felony. He was the chief of staff of the vice president. You've got the eight prosecutors that are being fired to make way for Republican cronies and also to punish them for either not going after Democrats enough or for going after Republicans too hard. Either way. You've got the Walter Reed scandal, which is huge. Here you send the soldiers off to fight, and when they get wounded, you send them to a rat-infested, moldy place to recover. And then you have the nerve to talk about supporting the troops. And then you punish the soldiers who say, you know, maybe you shouldn't be treating us this way. And, of course, you have the continuing problems in Iraq and the continuing attempt to push for war with Iran, and you can bet your ass that they're going to try to go to war with Iran. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the only thing that's going to stop them is if the military absolutely refuses to carry out the orders. For those of us who were actual soldiers, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not claiming to be an Audie Murphy or a real war hero or anything like that, because I wasn't. I was a serviceman like everybody else. I didn't see any real combat. I was in the Air Force, and I was in support in the Air Force, so it's not like, you know, I was going to... But the thing about it is I was in the military, and I did my duty. And when you go in there and you swear that oath, and you take that oath, the oath says very clearly who you're taking the oath to, or what you're taking the oath to. You're taking the oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Which is the oath, the same kind of oath, that the president takes. Because, ladies and gentlemen, at least in theory, our government, our leaders, are stewards of the law. And they are not the law themselves. And, of course, the Bush people don't see it that way. Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney, Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. Rumsfeld, who I'm sure is still doing something behind the scenes. I mean, you know, whatever. The point is, these people believe that they are the law. And when Cheney talks about unitary executive, he just basically means king. That's what he's talking about, king. That they rule and you follow. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're up against. Because with people like that, the only way to stop them is to stop them sometimes physically. And in this case, it means the military just deciding, we're not going to push this button. Because our oath is to the Constitution. It's not to Mr. Bush. It's not to Mr. Cheney. It's not to the office of a president or the vice president or the Secretary of Defense. Our oath is to the Constitution. And we are here to support and defend that. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people just seem to think that you got to support the president. I heard, who was it I heard the other day? Was it Dennis Miller who was trying to weasel out of stuff and say, well, I support President Bush, and if Hillary becomes president, I'll support her. No, it doesn't work that way, Mr. Miller. You support and defend the Constitution. That's the laws that we have. That is what we do. All right, if you want to give a call in, you got your last chance, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We've got our, I believe it's a Puffy AmiYumi break coming up, and we can do that, and then we'll come back. We've got a couple of callers. We'll try to get them on the air before we have to split. So we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Okay, we're back here for the final 10 minutes of the Cup of Joe radio show. I want to get her on right away so we can get all as many calls as we can. And let's get Faith from right here in Chicago, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've been podcasting your show, so I don't typically listen live. I'm home with a cold today. I live in Waukegan, which is about 40 miles north of you, so I'm kind of in your territory.
Okay.
And I also share your views. I wanted to thank you for sticking up for workers. We are in a class war right now. I am thoroughly convinced. And I think, unfortunately, we have several people in the working class who think they're buddies with the boss. And it's really puzzling to me. And so I think it's important that they hear the truth now and then about this war that's being waged. I mean, they want to go after our schools. They basically want to take our Social Security. There's not really any stone left unturned that they don't want to go after. So I think they're doing something very important by telling them that.
Like I think just people ought to know that for the most part, and I don't say that it's not true of all workplaces and all companies, but for the most part, they're out to rip people off. And I agree with you. The sad thing is that they don't realize it and they participate in it as well by buddying up to the boss or something and just assuming that hard work and all that is going to really help them. And the only thing that really helps them is they stick together.
Well, that's true. And one thing about it, when it comes to solidarity, the ruling class has it. They stick together. They define things in class terms. And as soon as the working class does it, they call it class warfare. And as far as I'm concerned, they fired the first shot. So workers need
right.
to stick for each other. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Faith. And, of course, if you go down south, if you unionize, you're a communist. You'd use the stink communist.
Of course, I consider myself a Marxist for real, but not Stalinist Marxism, but the true workers sticking together and the idea that you live in a class-based society, and there's nothing wrong with that, knowing that.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, and a lot of people, and I don't necessarily agree with what Mr. Marx had to say, but I understand why he wrote what he wrote. When you have to look at the historical conditions, things that were going on in Eastern European at the time that he and Mr. Engels were writing his treatises, and things were very, very bad for working people. Now, I mean, we think it's bad now, and it is bad now, but it's nothing compared to the way it was, you know, 100 or 20 so years ago when they were writing this stuff. And, you know, it's the same way with the people who read Ayn Rand and, you know, talking about how wonderful her philosophies are, you know, which of course is nonsense. And, but she grew up in communist Russia. So, you know, the people have that, people have that perspective. So, Faith, I want to thank you for calling in.
Sure thing. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah, Faith, a new caller. And I see that we lost our other caller. That's okay. I'm sorry about that. Maybe they'll call back. So, but that's all right. But no, it is a class warfare, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and here, you know, if you look at the system, the way capitalism is, the way capitalism is set up now, it really kind of is the last bastion of feudalism in this country, because there's always, you know, I'm going to try to explain this in the best way I can. Conditions for people back in medieval times, when you had kings and when you had queens, was based very specifically on who was your king and who was your queen and who was in charge of you, basically. If you had a good king, and there were good kings, I mean, I'm not necessarily against monarchy if you've got a good king, okay, and if you've got responsible rulers. Because if you've got responsible rulers, almost any system can work well, whether it's a communist system or a socialist system, a liberal system, a capitalist system. If the system works honestly and nobody's just trying to game it for their own advantage and screw everybody else, then it can work. So, you know, you can have good kings. Rome had good emperors, and some of the medieval kingdoms had good kings and bad kings, and it happens. But how things work for the working classes, the people that make it work, depends almost entirely on who your king is and who your queen is. And it's the same with any company. The conditions at work depend solely on who your boss is, whether you're talking about your immediate boss or the CEO. Because you can get a CEO come up with some wild hair up his or her ass, saying, well, you know, we have to have our employees, especially if you're in the service industry, they have to wear a bright orange and wear this goofy-looking hat, because that's the directive that I have, and I am the boss, and I am the king, and you got to do what I say. And that's basically how it works. And what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is somehow, some way, bring capitalism into the 21st century. Okay, I'm not saying that we have to have capitalism be a pure democracy, but we need to have a little bit more control. And the best way to get that control is when working people stick together. Because, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, damn it, and nobody listens to me, and nobody understands me. Well, some people listen to me, but you know what I'm talking about. What the work, what the CEOs and what the big executives and what all these people fear the most is our understanding that without us, they don't make a penny. They can't see anything. Abraham Lincoln said that labor comes before capital. And he's absolutely right. You can't have the one without the other. And you know something? Working people are smart enough to know that they're not going to demand so much that it's going to ruin their business. But it also demands some accountability on behalf of the executives and on behalf of the boards. I think we need things like Freedom of Information Act for any company that trades publicly. We ought to have access to all the meetings that go on. And they ought not be allowed to have meetings without them being recorded. We ought to try to keep them from having secret meetings. Because when you keep everything out in the open like that, ladies and gentlemen, then you have much more accountability. One of the reasons why the Bush administration gets away with what they do is because they keep everything secret, and they have a press that's actively covering up for them. Not necessarily active participants in what's going on, but just part of the propaganda system that's being perpetuated. And we've got to do our best to try to bring this stuff into a much more modern system. And the only way we can do that, ladies and gentlemen, is by sticking together, because that's the only power we have as workers. They can pick you off one by one. During the American Revolution, I forget which one of our founding fathers said it. He was talking to the other guy, says, gentlemen, we must all hang together or we will all hang separately. Because that's the truth. These guys literally put their lives on the line for their beliefs. Because if they had lost the war, they'd all have been hung. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't hang together, we will all hang separately. Because they'll pick you off one at a time. They'll fire you. They'll make your life miserable. But if you all band together, if that employer knows that if they fire you, their whole plant walks out or everybody else walks out, then they're not going to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The problem we had with the labor union movement here in this country is the fact that it concentrates only on this country. Now with technology being the way it is, it's easier for a company to move to a place like Mexico or Vietnam. And my answer to that is not to get all the Mexicans and get all the Vietnamese. My answer to that is let's make the working conditions for Mexicans and Vietnamese the same as it is for Americans. Let's make working conditions all over the world the same, so that if a company wants to relocate to a country to build a product or to manufacture something or for whatever reason, they're doing it for reasons directly related to business and not just where can I find the cheapest labor. If Ford wants to build a plant in, say, Eastern Europe because it's cheaper for them to build the plant there and sell the cars there than it is for them to build the cars here and export them, I'm all for it, because I'm all for the Eastern Europeans just as I'm all for the Vietnamese and all for the Mexicans. And I really get tired when I hear working people blaming the Mexicans for their problems, because the Mexicans are not your problem, ladies and gentlemen. The Mexicans have no control over our policy. The poor guy with his family, maybe, and sometimes without his family, going over the border to try to make a better life for himself, is not your enemy. He does not set policy. They want the same as you want, to make a better life for themselves and to leave something better for their kids. That's all they want. And I, for one, being the grandson of immigrants, I'm not about to object to it. As far as I'm concerned, and I know it's an unrealistic position, but damn it, I feel that way. We ought to let them all in. Those words on the Statue of Liberty mean something to me. Unless you're tired, you're poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Those words mean something to me. And there's no exceptions to those rules, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't like the illegal immigration, if you don't like, you know, all the swarms of the brown people coming over, well, you know what? The best way to deal with that is to make Mexico a better place for them to live. Is to make Vietnam a better place for them to live. Is to make Iraq a better place for them to live. Because the people of Iraq are not against us, ladies and gentlemen. The people of Iran are not against us. People in Saudi Arabia. All of these people. To the working person, there is no such thing as a country, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to understand that. If you're a working person and you have to work and sweat to earn your living, you are the same in Vietnam and in Mexico and in the United States. Anyway, we're coming up to the end of the show here, and I'm sorry we lost our other caller. Maybe they got called away. I don't know what's going on with that. But that happens all the time in this business, but that's all right. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Our producer today has been the lovely, wonderful, hardworking Agnes Kincaid out there in the studios out in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. And go over to their site and see what you can do to help out, whether it be money or whether it be donating your time. The Jeff Allen Wolf Show is next here on the Head On Radio Network, on all your Head On Radio Network stations. And I'll be back tomorrow with Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. Until then, hey, 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 hey! Get back to work!
This is the Quality News Network. The 15 British troops seized last month in the Persian Gulf arrived back in London this morning. They're on their way to a debriefing that was released yesterday by Iran's hardline president eased tensions in the region. In Basra, four British soldiers and a civilian interpreter were killed today in an ambush. Another British soldier was seriously wounded. South of Baghdad, a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter was brought down by enemy fire this morning. Four of nine aboard were injured. Yesterday, five U.S. soldiers were killed, four wounded in various incidents around Baghdad. Also, the military says another U.S. soldier was killed Tuesday in a small arms skirmish. The Pentagon has announced an investigation indicates two U.S. soldiers killed in Ramadi in early February likely were victims of friendly fire. Three other soldiers were wounded in the same incident. Two men have been arrested for allegedly plotting last week's truck bombing in Tal Afar. The killing of 152 Shia made it the single deadliest insurgent attack since the U.S. invasion. The New York Times reports the Bush administration has stalled a proposed arms deal to Saudi Arabia following Israeli objections. Jerusalem says the armaments, particularly precision-guided weapons for fighter planes, might diminish its military prominence in the Middle East. In London, the first charges were filed in connection with the July 2005 transit bombings that killed 52. Three men arrested last month are being charged with conspiracy to cause explosions. In The Hague, a former Bosnian Serb policeman has been given a 15-year sentence for the rape and torture of Muslim women during the Bosnian War. Dragan Zelenovic pleaded guilty. His case first established rape as a crime against humanity. In Kiev, demonstrations continue today. Ukraine's President Viktor Yushchenko refuses to back down from his decision to dissolve parliament and call early elections. Western leaders